Thought Guy.
3, 2, 1.
Title asks the question, how many minds are there? Now remember, I'm talking about minds, not brains. We know there's three brains, and we talk about the three brains all the time. That's not what today is about. In our month of identity, that's what February is about, identity. We seek to know ourselves. We seek to know our uber purpose. The highest purpose, the main purpose, the penultimate purpose as spiritual beings living in a spiritual world, living as a human experience with human and spiritual experiences within this universe. We're here, like the science says, to reveal the divinity in ourselves, okay? So I'm just reiterating what was said earlier, what I say almost every week. And of course, the answer to how many minds there is simple. You've heard it before. You've heard it before today. But the acceptance of that many times is not so simple. Now, according to the Oxford Dictionary, mind is the part of a person that makes it possible to think, feel emotions, and understand things. Webster's New World College Dictionary defines mind as consciousness and thought as an element in reality, that which thinks, perceives, feels, wills, etc., the seat or subject of consciousness, the thinking and perceiving part of consciousness, intellect or intelligence. And one more I want to share with you, the English Wiktionary, there's a wiki everything. The English Wiktionary writes that mind is the non-material substance or set of processes in which consciousness, perception, affectivity, judgment, thinking, and will are based. Now, of course, some would say there are three minds. They say there's conscious mind, subconscious mind, superconscious mind. But those are not separate. They're just phases or parts that are working together. It's how psychology has split consciousness, has split the acting of the brain, which is not always the same thing as consciousness. So, of course, how many minds are there? You know the answer. We say the answer all the time. If you're in this philosophy or teaching for any length of time or similar philosophies and teachings, you know there is one mind. But let us remember, let's dig deep into this idea of one mind. We say that, it becomes kind of a shorthand, and I, of course I appreciate that, and I say that when we're in our affirmative prayer, etc. But let's remind ourselves what that means, one mind, what that one mind is. Well, it is intrinsically pure, the one mind. We're born with it, and when we're born with it, it doesn't mean it's newly created. And when we die with it, it does not perish when we die. This mind, this power, this energy is here before us, with us, after us, in our physical form, because it is the pure energy as we are deep inside. Mind, it has no distinction of gender. Nor has it any coloration of good or bad, or disposition of naughty or nice. There's none of that in mind. That is an energy produced, an idea produced, a belief produced by the human experience, not mind. Mind cannot be compared with anything, for mind is everything. Everything is experienced through mind. It is the power and presence that reveals itself individually and personally, not just within each of us as human beings, but within each creation human, animal, mineral, flora, fauna, insect, other existences that we don't know or understand. The universe is so vast, and we are seeing that even more and more now with our the new Webb telescope that's up there, seeing deeper and deeper and further away into the universe. What's going on out there? Because we are part of that. We are mind surrounding, mind harmonizing itself with our surroundings. Mind is an all-encompassing, infinite dimension of shared intelligence. There's so much knowledge out there, and not just the knowledge on this planet, but knowledge in the universe. And we get to tap into that as much as we desire. We are not the one mind's puppet, though. We have to remember we are not the puppet of some being that's sitting there, you know, playing with the humans and everything else and going, okay, do this, do that. There's no puppeteer. We are an essential experience of life with it, as well as for it and as it. But we individualize this power. We have free will as this power. Each of us is not only an individualized expression of it, we are each the great completeness of this one mind. Think of that. You are the great completeness. I am the great completeness. Everyone, good, bad, or indifferent, are the great completeness of this one mind. That's very powerful to understand, to live as. The one mind, of course, like I said before, is not subject to birth or death. It is neither being nor nothingness. It's neither emptiness nor form and color. It is just energy on the move. Energy that doesn't feel pain or joy except through you, through me, through all of us. That's how it experiences love and everything else, for that matter. There's this letter I read to the Abbess of Shinryu-ji, and it was written by the Zen master Abasui. And he describes the one mind to the abbess in this way. It is not mean even in the body of the lowly, nor is it imposing in the body of the noble. Like boundless space, it hasn't a particle of color. The physical world can be destroyed, but formless, colorless space is indestructible. This mind, like space, is all-embracing. It does not come into existence with the creation of our body, nor does it perish with its disintegration. Though invisible, it suffuses our body and every single act of seeing, hearing, smelling, speaking, or moving the hands and legs. It's simply an activity of this mind. It's an activity of this mind because we individualize that mind. This is a great, great idea to grasp onto at least every now and again. Because sometimes as we get into our human stuff, our human crap sometimes, the junk that goes on in our minds, and then thus around us in our lives, it's good to go back and remember to reveal the divinity that is within us. To reveal that power and that presence, to know that power and presence is here for us, with us, as us, works through us, experiences because of us. Another aspect of mind I want to talk about is that there is no duality here. There's no up there and down there. There's only there. There's only actually love. Love is the self-givingness of spirit. Love is the true essence of spirit. Pure love, though. Energy is pure love without judgment. That's why it's called the one mind and not the duo mind. The more we cling to superficial forms of power and truth that are outside of ourselves, as if there's some duality going on, you know, God up there kind of duality, the Santa Claus God kind of duality, the more we are available to suffer, the more we are available to feel like we are alone, because we're never really alone. Whether you are vital and vibrant right now, or maybe sickly in some mental or physical way, the one mind is still present right now within you, listening, ready to illuminate, to uplift, to change, to increase or decrease if it must, with constructive creative energies. It's there for you. It's there to bring you the expertise that you need, the allies that you require. It's there. The great poet Rumi wrote, "You are the universe," meaning the one mind, "in ecstatic motion." Ecstatic motion, movement all the time. Energy is moving. When we do spiritual mind treatment, when you work those affirmative incantations, you are moving energy. That's all life is about, is moving energy. Sometimes we have to get back to that and remember that. Rumi also wrote, "The mind is an ocean. I and so many worlds are rolling there, mysterious, deeply, dimly seen. And our bodies," he says, "our body is a cup floating on the ocean. Soon it will fill and sink. Not even one bubble will show where it went down. The spirit is so near that you can't see it, but reach for it. It's only a breath away," as the songwriter said. Going back to Rumi, he says, "Don't be a jar full of water whose rim is always dry. Don't be the rider who gallops all night and never sees the horse that is beneath him. Him, her, they experience. Dig deep, soak in this divinity that is you." Maybe not every day, although every day is going to empower you even more, but at least sometimes, even if it's just this hour on Sunday, soak in the divinity that is you and power yourself with the power and presence that is within yourself. Because the one mind resides here and now. It resides before and beyond. It holds no time. It holds no space, for it is all time. It is all space. I know this is mind-blowing in a way. But remember, mind has no limitations except that which we place on it. Mind is limitless. Mind is infinite. Mind is the first and final frontier. It is the vehicle to voyage the vastness and magnificence of the universe that is within you and without you, to experience life and nature, people, love. It is the mechanism to seek out and embody new affirming beliefs and new conscious intentions. Use your consciousness to consciously intend whatever it is you've decided you want to experience next. Mind is the channel to boldly go, divinely backed, where you've never gone before. Mind is love, and love, like I said, is the self-givingness of spirit. And by spirit, I mean the divine or God or whatever you want to call it, Phil. Like love, mind is vast and deep and can be all-encompassing. I want to read you another part of that letter from Master Basui to that abbess. And he said, do not try to prevent thoughts from arising, and do not cling to any that have arisen. Let them appear and disappear as they will. Don't struggle with them. You need only unremittently and with all your heart ask yourself, what is my own mind? He continues, I keep urging this because I want to bring you to self-realization. When you persistently try to understand what is beyond the domain of intellect, you are bound to reach a dead end. But push on, push on. Sitting or standing, working or sleeping, probe tirelessly to your deepest self with the question, what is my own mind? Fear nothing but the future with a failure to experience your true nature. And those who have, even for a second, experienced their true nature and felt that joy and that communion, that connection with the divine, or whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm talking about, which pretty much is everyone. I can't imagine no one not having even a second in their lives, no matter how long they've been living, not feeling that mind, that universal mind within them. And what is your true nature? What is your uber identity? I'm going to read you something from the Bhagavad Gita. And that reminds us, I am the object of all knowledge, father of the world, its mother, source of all things of impure and pure, of holiness and horror. I am the goal, the root, the witness, home and refuge, dearest friend, creation and annihilation, everlasting seed and treasure. I am the radiance of the sun. I open or withhold the rain clouds. I am immortality and death and being and non-being. Let your thoughts flow past you calmly. Keep me near you at every moment. Trust me with your life because I am you more than you yourself are. Now, I've read a lot of poetry, a lot of spirituality in this talk, and I suppose I should end it with a little practical use of all this thing called mind. But I want to read you one more story. In mind, there's no heaven place it resides in, right? We've talked about that. There's no heaven, and neither is there any hell place it doesn't. Because here's a Zen parable that tells the story of mind and conscious mind and what this divine reality is. So a burly, rough samurai went to see a monk who was a little guy, small of stature, as they say. And he says, monk, in this big tone of voice, accustomed to being instantly obeyed. He said, monk, teach me something about heaven and hell. And the monk looked up at this mighty warrior and replied with the utmost disdain, teach you something about heaven and hell? I couldn't teach you anything. You are a dirty, smelly, bad swordsman. Your sword is rusty, for God's sakes. You are a disgrace to the image of the samurai. Get out of here. I can't stand you. And the samurai becomes enraged. He's trembling. He's so pissed off, and his face gets all red and mute with anger. He draws his sword and he raises it ready to kill the monk. And the monk points to him and softly says, that is hell. And the samurai shudders at the thought of the compassion and submission of this little man who's risked his life to show him hell. And slowly he lowers his sword and finds himself full of gratitude, the samurai, and suddenly at peace. And the monk points at him and says, and that is heaven. Choose your mind to lean towards heaven and mind your diet, mind your amount of exercise, sleep, sunlight, mind the amount of stress you allow. Sometimes sit and examine your limiting beliefs. What are those? What ones do I want to get rid of? Probably all of them if they're limiting beliefs. Change your inner monologue. What is the self-talk that's going on? Catch yourself next time. What is this self-talk? Do I want to talk to myself that way? No, null, void, go away. Eventually, that talk will stop. That dialogue will stop. Think to yourself, when I talk to my friends, would I talk to them the way my inner critic talks to me? Probably not. Posture, you know what? I was reading about this, adjust your posture, and I thought, wow, that's so great. That's so simple. I had a teacher who used to adjust my posture in college from across the quadrangle in the middle of all the buildings. She would yell at me to adjust my posture. Because the great thing about that, and I've talked about that, the whole like the Wonder Woman postures and stances, as you do those, it changes your state of mind. Because you're changing your body, and as you change your body, everything reacts to that, including the things going on in your brain. Poor posture gives you a negative state. It, you know, if you walk around like this all the time, you know, it's not going to be easy to be happy. Good posture and alertness produces a positive state. It's the key to changing your mood is by changing your posture. And smile, and just smile. Just smile, even if you have nothing to smile about. Maybe not in public, just kind of walk around smiling. Although that's okay, actually. But just the act of smiling, again, changes. It creates chemicals that are going on in your whole body and your brain. If you don't feel it, smile anyway. You can trick your mind through the chemical reactions that are going on just in the act of smiling. And move your body, dance, exercise, take a hike, move your body, releases stress and elevates your state of mind. It flushes out what's going on, what's in the way. Move your body and create empowering rituals. That's a practical way. Affirmative incantations, once in the morning when you get up and right before you go to sleep, there's a ritual right there. Having a great breakfast or a mindful, conscious, intermittent fasting. Every once in a while, that could be a ritual. Meditation, prayer of some sort, any spiritual practice is a ritual. Daily have that ritual. And finally, adopt an abundance mindset. Even if you have to fake it till you make it, man, adopt an abundant mindset. When you take responsibility for your lifestyle, your feelings, your actions, you have true freedom then. And freedom is just a state of mind. And from that state of mind, you could have a state of being, a state of revealing that divinity in you, in everything you think, say, feel, and do. Live in the gratitude of who you are and what power you have right now. And as you do that, watch all hell break loose and then fall free from you. All just by the use of that one mind. Thank you so much. Namaste.